This episode of the Nerd Up Podcast made possible in part by Eagle Theater. Visit them online at eagletheater.net. And by Classic Hits WTYE. Listen online at WTYEFM.com and made possible by proud supporters just like you.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm your host, Guilty Wilson, and normally I would say I'm with someone else, but Tony, he claims to have grandfather duties on hand. I think he just wanted an excuse to hang around the grandkid. I don't think he actually had to. I think he just wanted to. But we won't go there. Anyway, I got a great guest to replace Tony, though. So we're going to be talking with Ian Mayer with Moonlight Films here in just a second. But before we do, kind of want to remind you, we're brought to you proudly by the Eagle Theater here in Robinson, Illinois, also in Streeter, Illinois. And where's the other one? I forget the other one. Oh, Clinton, Illinois. There we go. So those guys, if you want to check out a great theater, want to watch a movie in comfort and style and free refills, it's Eagle Theater. Check them out online, eagletheater.net. And, of course, Classic Hits WTYE for helping put up with this. So there you go. There's our sponsors. Let's move on. We got in the studio with us Ian Mayer with Moonlight Films. Ian, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me, Gil. I appreciate it.
Now, you guys, Moonlight Films, how long have you been making these films?
Moonlight Films started in 2012 officially, but okay. I started making films when I was about 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that was 2011 then. No.
Sounds about right. It's just because I'm short. Yeah. So.
Well, that makes sense. Okay. To Moonlight Films, if anybody has not seen a Moonlight film yet, you guys need to. These are some of the really cool horror films that, I don't know, I just love. I'd love to be able to soak in a good horror film in the middle of the night. And when I saw the independent film company making a horror film, it's like, two things made. It's like, you know, peanut butter and chocolate.
That's right.
Independent and horror. Yes. So you guys, now what made you want to get together and do horror films?
I grew up watching Universal monster movies. That was my favorite thing in the whole world. So it was black and white and Boris and Bela and Lon. Those were my heroes growing up and just collecting those films and all that and being intrigued by a lot of horror that I was not allowed to watch. So I would find ways to do that without my parents knowing.
Yeah.
And something about the horror world always intrigued me, just the interesting characters and some of the fun locales. You know, you wouldn't see Transylvania in a romantic comedy, but you would. Possibly. Hallmark may get there. But
you're right.
A lot of times I hear other indie guys say they do horror because it's easier and the base is a little more accepting, but I love horror in general. So to me, it just seemed like the natural way to go.
All right. So you said you started making films at 8 years old. What kind of film did you make at 8 years old?
Bad ones. they were basically, carbon copies of the ones that I watched.
Okay.
My mom and dad had one of the big VHS cameras, that weighed 30 pounds. And a lot of times my mom would run the camera for us and I would invite friends over after school and we would make the whole movie in an hour, you know, because it was basically, I would build the sets in my basement and always a mad scientist lab.
Okay.
I never did get away from that.
So romantic comedies then.
Yes. Okay. All set in creepy basements. But it started that way. And my mom made costumes and things for us.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I remember one time we were running around like cavemen in our yard with like loincloth kind of costumes. And she made those for us. And my dad would help build props and things.
Oh, wow. Nice.
A lot of support with them. So, you know, and my brother, he was always right there helping too. So it was a good environment to work in.
Yeah,
so
definitely. I mean, that when you got support like that, you know, that's all you need is just a little bit of support. You know,
I've been very blessed my entire life with very, very, very strong support all the way through.
Yeah. And that's the thing with when parents do support their kid. If like, for example, if the horror movie thing didn't work out for you, if you didn't go on to make other films, at least they let you in, explore that to see if that was going to be good for you. And if there could have been the time where it's like, nah, I better not do this. I want to go teach.
Right. I did a little bit of that too.
Yeah. And so, but either way, you get to enjoy that support. And that really helps out a lot of people whenever they have that support basis and you can move on from there. So how long did you make these basement films?
technically, we still use that basement frequently at my dad's house. But up until about a year or so, and then I met James Stevenson, who is my co-producer and the co-owner of Moonlight Films, and he and I became instant friends because we both loved movies.
Right.
And he had a crazy movie collection when we were growing up. So it was always neat to go to his house and see all these cool films that he had. And we started doing these films together, and we got a little more serious about it as and it kind of got to a point where he and I were more serious than most of our other friends that we were bringing in, because we were all elementary school age. And he and I took it really serious. We're going to make this film. It's going to be great. and so that up until junior high, early high school, and then we got a lot more serious.
Okay.
Where I started actually writing full scripts and bringing in adult actors to work with.
Right.
So around 2008, is when it come out of the basement and we started doing a little
got
bigger,
more serious. So 2012 was Moonlight Films. You and James Stevenson were there. Now, how did the rest of the crew, you've got Darren Morgan, Ben Mayer, your brother. I guess he was there all
the time. He was there the whole time.
I guess he'd have to be.
I forced him against his will.
Younger or older brother?
He's younger. He's three years younger. But he's still an incredible amount of help all these years later.
Well, that's a good thing. And then now Tara Bixler, also part of this, now all Moonlight Films. Now, what was the process between you and James, and again, maybe Ben a little bit? From there, saying, all right, let's start, a company, Moonlight Films. What was the process between there?
2008, we did one called The Man with Two Faces, which is our first official movie. We just hadn't really come up with Moonlight Films, the name yet.
Okay.
So we did that, and then two films, Bloodstone and Bloodstone 2, those were vampire films.
Okay.
Those were all made in high school. So when they count up our filmography, a lot of times those are still included, which gets our number up higher.
Well, yeah.
But those are looked at a little more as experimental. Kind of films. But Tara come in on Bloodstone too, so she was there even before Moonlight Films officially began. She was our lead vampire in Bloodstone too, so she was friend of ours in high school. Didn't know her extremely well, but as I was thinking about this character, I was like, who am I going to get to play this? And something about Tara, and it was kind of awkward approaching her because I didn't know her that well. Hey, do you want to be in this vampire movie? And I'm like embarrassed, like, God, she's probably going to think I'm an idiot. And she's like, I would love that. And she's never left from that moment.
Oh, nice.
And it started in a hot, nasty, bug-filled field that morning. It was hot. And it's out there in a vampire dress and all this. But yet something clicked. And she's been
ever since.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. So now 2012, Moonlight Films, you guys launch. Let's go through real quick here. What movies are on the Moonlight Films label? What movies have you guys released? Let's throw some names out here for people.
In order?
Yeah. Well, that takes too hard to think about.
No, I can probably do it. After Dark was our first official Moonlight Films movie. And we brought people, and we had a guy from Los Angeles actually fly in to be in that film. And he volunteered to do it.
Oh, wow.
On his own dime. He's like, dude, I'm going to come do this. And he had a girlfriend that lived in Indianapolis.
Okay.
So he came in, and we had some people out of Bloomington. So that was our first, we'll say, air quote, big film. We had a lot of people in that. And then we moved on to a family drama called Weaver's Crossing.
Okay.
Which is actually one of the fan favorites of our line. Yes. And I love it because it's close to my heart. My grandparents were the main two characters in that.
Oh, nice.
My grandfather actually just passed away recently. So that movie's been on my mind a lot, but, he was a big contributor to Moonlight Films, and he would help me retool scripts So that movie was pretty close to me.
Right. But it wasn't a horror movie, though, huh?
It was not, no. Wow, and it had, okay, had a good message to it about family relationships and not giving up on people just because you have differences. And then by the time, you know, you reconcile, it may be too late for things to work out, you know. So it had a good morale.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Where did we go from there? We went into A Whisper in the Dark, which was has been a crazy hit on YouTube, although not my favorite of our films. I'm glad Fangs has finally eclipsed that, and Graveyard Stories have eclipsed Whisper, because I wasn't a fan of that being our flagship.
Really?
But it's still a good well, little movie. It's
apparently just, the fans like it.
It's disjointed, and that is totally my fault from a writing perspective.
Okay.
And then we did Whisper in the Dark 2 and Night Crimes, which was a police procedural. That was actually born as a web series that was sort of unsuccessful. So I repackaged it and it became one film.
Oh, okay.
So that was a little too ambitious at the time. But it's a neat little movie for it being just a 90-minute cop drama.
Yeah. I guess I'm surprised that you're doing non-horror. I mean, that's what gets me.
And then Shadow Zone was a science fiction film, but it had a lot of horror elements
right
in it. So it was, I just consider it a horror film like the others. But where did we go from there?
I know that one of the things that I like about the Moonlight films, first of all, you're local, if you will. I mean, you guys are from around close to where I am. Where are you guys based out of?
We are primarily based out of Linton, Indiana.
Yeah. Hey, we got a radio station there.
Okay.
Or used to. I think we're still there.
Neat.
So Linton, Indiana, I mean, that's very close to here.
Mm-hmm.
And what's one of the things is, like, I love the fact that, I mean, we've talked with Jed Bryan. You know Jed Bryan.
Yeah, Jed's great.
We've talked to him. He's from, like, just south of here. You guys are over east of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm surrounded by these great music or movie guys that are just, you know, putting horror films, which I love, together. So
cool.
Apparently there's a crew up in Peoria. I haven't met them yet. So one of these days I have to meet those guys.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to go to Los Angeles.
To
be part of the film world. You can be right here in the midst of the corn.
And that's exactly and that's kind of scary in itself.
Oh, so. Yeah.
But that's one of the things I love is, like, the indie filmmakers, period. But being the indie filmmakers close by, I think it's like, I got my friends hanging out now, basically.
Yeah.
And so, I've run into you guys a few times at different cons throughout the area and, of course, film shoots and things. But, I've always wanted to let you know that I love the fact that you're here. You didn't go Hollywood on us.
Well, Hollywood wouldn't have us. No, Hollywood should have us, because they're running out of ideas.
I know they are. Yes, they are.
I don't want to move to Hollywood.
No,
I'm happy here.
Well, the cost of living is a little bit higher.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I know some filmmakers out there too, and
So you couldn't, like, for the budget you have on one of your films, you couldn't do that out there.
Oh God, no.
So
budget.
Oh yeah, independent film. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But no, sometimes.
Now, recently, I you guys have been on the streaming service Fearflix. And I found you guys on there, and actually, I was looking around. I saw on your Facebook post somewhere that a couple of your movies are on Fearflix. And so I said, let me check that out. And so I on my Roku, I downloaded the Fearflix app and I looked at it as like $4 or $5 a year. And I'm like, I can pay for that for horror movies. Heck yeah.
It's a great service.
Yeah.
And super reasonable.
Yeah, exactly. For a year. Normally it's $4 or $5 a month.
Right. Right.
This is a year. I'm like, okay. And then I found, you know, of course, your films that you were talking about. And then I found Fangs, which, again, I'll bring up Jed Bryan. This is not his podcast. but
it could be. Jed is great.
Yeah, he acted in Fangs. I'm like, oh yeah, he's been wanting me to watch that. So I was like, that's on my list now. So I have to get that. The only thing is, though, I have to watch it without my wife, because she won't watch horror movies with me.
Oh, it's not that scary.
It doesn't matter. She won't watch horror movies.
And Jed plays a fisherman.
Okay.
In a pretty cool sequence.
Okay.
So he did a really good job for us.
I can't wait to see that. Now, actually, you guys also have incorporated several other of my acquaintances / friends in some of your films. Like, I know you had one. Well, I think Matty White was also in Fangs.
And he's in our next one.
Yeah, and he's in the next one. Okay. So he's a friend of mine, musician friend, and just general around great guy. And then a few others, names keep popping up. I'm like, I definitely got to get these guys into the studio. So that's why you're here.
We all cross paths eventually.
Yeah.
It seems like an even wider spread, you know, just like through social media.
Yeah.
It's interesting, just in the last couple years, all these filmmakers, indie guys from all over the country. And it's like, huh, now we're all connected through whatever. And mm-hmm. it's kind of fun to see how it works that way.
Yeah.
So,
and the fact that, well, first of all, you know, we're all right here in the central part of the United States.
Yeah.
And we're all working together. I mean, you came out for one of Jed's shoots. He comes out for some of your mm-hmm. shoots. And then the other aspect is Midwest, local, independent horror. Now you guys are on a streaming service that everybody in the world are going to be able to watch it. Not just, right. you know, and I know you guys have some, you know, distribution of sorts, but still, I mean, the streaming service, I think, is kind of fun. Yeah. Now I got to ask you this, and I know you probably don't want to talk bad about them, but I understand that streaming services, you don't get paid very much as a,
well, I tell you, Tim Wall, who owns Fearflix, reached out to me and is a super, super good guy. I mm-hmm. really like Tim, and he has a lot of ambition because he is starting two other streaming services in addition to Fearflix. And he offered a little bit up front for oh, wow. the use of these films. And I told him, I said, Tim, I think you ought to, because it's a startup.
Right.
It's a fairly new streaming service. I said, you know, talk to us later once this has gotten more traction, because I know what that's like to be yeah. starting something and not have
yeah.
a lot to begin with. And then, you know, your group and your resources grow and grow and grow, you know? So I think that's, you know, it's sort of a, you know, he's allowing our films to be on the channel,
yeah.
which is great for us for more exposure, yeah. but also for him, it's more content, you
yeah,
know? So,
yeah.
you know, sometime down the line, but no, he's great. So
now you said he's got a couple others. Now, what I know we're talking earlier, Fearflix, that's the one that attracted me, horror uh-huh. movies.
Of course.
And now he's also got Faithflix,
uh-huh.
faith-based movies. What was the other service?
I think it's called Freeflix. That one's not started yet.
Okay.
I know the Faithflix, I think it's off the ground.
Okay.
And then he was talking about making an original film for that channel, because he's made an original movie for Fearflix called Interfere that I like a lot.
Okay.
And I think they're doing a part two to that right now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Is that the one thing I really like about horror movies, is there's always good sequels?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's bad sequels,
yeah. but there are always sequels.
there are always sequels. That's it. That's good. Yeah. Now, even the bad ones are good, though. So I can't.
I like them, too. Yeah.
I love when it's a cheesy movie, you know, I appreciate it for what it is. It's yeah. like, and whenever the, you know, there, I mean, I know you probably put out like some of your early films. It's like, I know this isn't going to be Oscar material, but yeah. holy cow, was it fun.
Yeah.
And that's the way, as a viewer, that's the way I look at these things. Is like, okay, is this fun? Oh, I'm having a blast. Yeah, this is
well,
a good
I think
movie.
That's part of A Whisper in the Dark. You know, great cast in that thing. It's just from a production standpoint, it's not very strong. But from a fun,
right?
An enjoyment aspect, a lot of people like it because it's got well over 2 million views by itself on
nice.
YouTube. So
nice.
I mean, you know, good for it. Yeah, it had some pretty strong leads and there's some fun stuff there.
Well, that brings me, out of all the films you've done so far, uh-huh. not the upcoming, we're going to talk about upcoming projects, but out okay. of the ones you've done so far, do you have a favorite? I know it's like what your favorite kid is.
But, I have, you know. Well, I only have one kid, so the one kid, he's my favorite. Uh-huh. Blood Cove and The Maker of Monsters are my two favorites.
Blood Cove, Maker of Monsters. Now, are those available on Fearflix?
Yes.
Okay, so Blood Cove.
And YouTube.
And YouTube, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I want to kind of, you know, cross pollinate here, if we will,
okay,
let
sure.
people know. Fearflix,
sure.
you can catch all these movies from Moonlight Films.
Oh yeah, most of them are on.
Nice.
On Fearflix.
Okay.
Now
why is that one your favorite though? Or that yeah.
The Maker of Monsters, I think, a couple of reasons. One, because it is a true love letter to werewolf films and those Universal and Hammer horror films that I grew up watching,
I
mentioned earlier, because, you know, and I actually played the lead role in that, which is rare anymore. Usually I used to, out of necessity.
Right.
But over time, my roles have gotten smaller because I have too many other jobs to take care of. But I like to act, but I got to play the main character in that. And there was sort of like some Paul Nashy werewolf going on in that film, too. And that's also the movie that really introduced us to George Stover out in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
James and I actually drove to Baltimore, Maryland to film with George, and then an actress, Leanna Shamish, and she was amazing as well. And they had both been very active in the Baltimore film scene. And George actually went as far back as some of the very early John Waters movies. He was all those early with Divine. Yeah. And he actually took us to Divine's tombstone, which was really neat. So working with the two of them in Baltimore was such a good experience.
Okay.
And so that really sort of broadened our whole scope. You know, even just for a weekend, it was a heck of a lot of fun to go out there. So that, I think that movie just not only the type of film it is, but sort of the opportunity that movie was. I think that is still of the two of those, that may nudge Blood Cove out a little bit, but I love Blood Cove.
Now, why do you love Blood Cove also?
Because it's great.
Of course, yeah.
Blood Cove is our tribute to 80s slasher films. And when a lot of modern day slasher films muddy themselves up with prophecies and overproduced special effects and things, this was just a straightforward, BS slasher film, you know,
kids going to get killed.
Exactly. And we tried to keep our character, the skull, a little more in the shadows, a la Michael Myers. He wasn't as in your face,
right?
As some of the others, and only showed up kind of at the beginning, a little bit in the middle, and then right there at the end for the big finale. So it definitely put a lot more mystery, but the cast in that one was top notch. Stover was back. We have a, amazing actress. Her name's Katie Harbridge. She's phenomenal, and she was the lead in that. Of course, my brother always plays the monsters in our films.
Oh, is that right?
He loves to be in the mask, and he just owns those characters. And he played the skull in that. And then Darren Morgan, who's also a big contributor at Moonlight Films, does all of our special effects, and very good actor. He doesn't give himself near enough credit as an actor. I think he's fabulous. As an actor, and he didn't want to play the role because it's a straight guy. He wasn't like a character.
Okay.
It was a character who was a lot more serious, a lot more, you know, down to earth, where he likes to be like the big over the top kind of people.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I have faith in you. You can do that. And he just did a great job in Blood Cove. So between him and Katie and my brother and George Stover and just the whole concept of that, Blood Cove, I think really excelled.
Okay.
So,
all right, so now I have two movies that I have to add to my list. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, now you have a couple. I know you've got one or two that you just wish you would never have done. Do you have any of those? You don't have to.
You said
admit
we weren't going
to
be negative on this film.
and the various reasons, like maybe the lighting wasn't right the whole film or something like that. But
I wish that Night Crimes would have worked out a little better as a web series, because I felt like there was a lot of potential, and I wrote 13 full episodes. I still have the whole binder of the scripts. I wish that would have been a series and not just, I felt like too much was truncated into an hour and a half, and there were plot threads that were started that didn't really get resolved because it's an hour and a half and we had what we had to work with. And there's a lot of good stuff in that, and it's unique for us because it's one of only two films out of our 18 that aren't horror films, but I think it's a missed opportunity. Although I think there's a lot of strong performances and some really good stuff in that movie.
So
I just wish that it would have been
the full series. Well, you know what? And that's one of the things like Disney Plus is doing with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, turning these movie into an 8-hour, what could have been an 8-hour movie now into an 8-episode series.
Right.
And there's a time right now. Maybe this is the time to get that out as a series. Maybe. Revisit. Who knows?
Cop dramas, they are popular.
Yeah. Okay. Now I always ask that whenever I talk to somebody, what's your worst? Cause everybody asks what's your favorite. That also gives me one more thing. It's like, well, now I'm going to go look at it. I'm going to go see if that's what he says. Because you're more your critic than anyone else is.
I would say A Whisper in the Dark 2 would probably be the other one.
Mm-hmm.
That was one that we were so jazzed about the first one when it came out that we started way too quick. We're like, this is awesome. Let's keep it going. Well, you can tell the first round of stuff we shot and then the interest just bottomed out. And then when I watch it back, it feels like the most Frankenstein of anything we've done because it's very disjointed. There's some fun stuff. There's some great action scenes. There's some really cool kill scenes. Darren did some great work with some blood effects. He let loose with that one a lot more, which was great because it kind of, you know, the stakes were raised and all that. But it just, when I look at it, it feels cobbled together.
Yeah.
So,
well, I tell you, I've never met a writer and director that have not been the more of a critic to themselves than anyone else. I mean, a lot of times fans will love
creative
it.
Creative people have that problem.
we're a worst. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, you know how that is.
Oh, yeah. In fact, you asked me what my worst favorite podcast is. It's always this one that I'm on now. What's my worst? The last one. I was like, oh, I wish I would have asked this.
I'll be in trouble on the next show.
Well, what's going to happen is you're going to leave, and about an hour after you leave and I start editing this, I'm like, oh, I wish I would have asked him this, or, oh, I could have gone here. And so, you know, but you can
call me. You can call me. Just call me.
I'll do that. So if you hear a portion of this podcast, it sounds like we're on the phone. That's because I forgot to ask.
I've sent some audio files. Yeah.
But no, I mean, really, once you're done with something, you're done with it. Move on. And that's what you guys are doing. You're not just saying, oh, we've released a bunch of movies, let's get them sold. No, you're saying, let's keep going with more movies.
Right.
What are your upcoming projects?
Well, the whole idea is to get better and better. You know,
well, yeah.
Darren and James and I, we talk about that all the time about, you know, the goal is this one has got to be better than the last. And we never go into a project like, well, we're just going to kind of half-bake this.
You better not.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you... If your budget's a little lower right then or whatever, you can't be as ambitious because you don't have the resources, or maybe some locations fell through or whatever. But no, you always set out to make the best thing you can. Mm-hmm. So,
well, what do you got coming up? What kind of movies are we looking forward to for Moonlight Films?
I don't know. Flesh Eaters is the one we have on the docket right now. We are 99.9% done with Flesh Eaters. And, we actually, George Stover, who I mentioned in Baltimore, is filming some of his own material due to the COVID restrictions and things. When we planned on going out to Baltimore, it wasn't maybe the best of ideas to go. Okay. It was a lot more widespread because of the big city.
Yeah.
So he said, maybe I ought to do my own part out here, which is great because he's filming his own material in Baltimore and I don't have to.
You just got to edit it in.
Oh, that's right. So I wrote the script and I sent him some storyboard type things, and he's was gracious enough to do that for us. But Flesh Eaters, the cast in that is stellar. We've got Stover. We have Leanna Shamish, who also recorded her own part. We've got Jordan Lee Wheatley, who's, you've probably seen some things with her. She's exceptional.
I think so. The name's familiar now.
And she's been in all sorts of stuff in the area. We've got Grant Carazia. We've got Sonny King. We have Tara Bixler again. She's back in a key role. Jed Bryan is in one of the lead roles. It's a throwback to like 60s and 70s drive-in creature feature movies.
Oh, wow.
That
okay.
you would, you know, tune out.
Is there going to be a guy in a rubber suit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got me now.
With green slime.
Yes. Yeah. I love those films.
Yeah. So it's people hear Flesh Eaters. I'm getting a lot of messages like, oh, I can't wait for your zombie film. It's not really a zombie film. I love zombie films, but this is just not that. This is a different kind of thing, but it's, you know, all set in a spooky swamp, and we had a boat and some cabins and a mad scientist. Jeff Angel is our mad scientist. Okay. He's out of Indianapolis, and his daughter Jamie plays a key role in it as well. And they were stellar on their day, and everybody in the cast. My gosh, I'm super proud of this group that we brought in for this movie. Patty Danner is in it, and she's fabulous, and plays Ruby, the crazy boat lady, and just nailed her performance. So good. So.
That's always a part I've always wanted to play, just a completely off the wall, crazy person.
I will write that.
All right, please do, because I have just so badly want to just chew the scenery, you know?
Yeah.
Just so badly.
Oh, it's more fun.
Yeah, exactly.
When you can play a character, I get where Darren's coming from.
Yeah.
When you can play a character, it is more fun, because I've done that a couple times lately and I thought, I'm not going to be any good at this.
Yeah.
And then hamming it up with toothpick and a big hat. And all that.
Exactly.
Like you just fall into
you become the character.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, definitely, because I've always wanted to do one. In fact, my first influence is, you ever see Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer?
You know, I have seen posters of that and trailers. I've never actually watched that.
Gosh, what's that? Michael Rooker. Yeah.
Okay.
He's in that. He plays Henry. And I saw that movie. I'm like, I want to be a serial killer. I want to play.
Don't say that on air.
Yeah. I want to play a serial killer after watching his performance.
He's a great actor anyway.
Well, yeah. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. And so I'm trying to find some crazy scene. Well, I, you know, played Colonel Mustard. We talked about it before on a play. It's like, that's a crazy
the
character.
The best Clue character there is.
Yeah, that's right. And so the way you got to do it is just go all out. And so yeah, there you go. You got your writing duties now. Now you worked with actually one of the king of B horror movies, Lloyd Kaufman.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about, well, first of all, what was the movie?
Well, two.
We've done two
with Lloyd. Graveyard Stories and then Blood Cove. Too.
Blood Cove. Okay. Yep. Oh.
So.
What was it like working with him?
It was great. I contacted his manager, John, in December. I had seen a video with James Rolfe. I don't know if you're familiar with. Cinemassacre is the name of his show. And he had Lloyd on. And Lloyd was talking about basically donating his acting services to help out indie filmmakers that maybe you can help them, you know, if his name's on it, it could help them get noticed a little bit more. And so I thought, well, let's see what happens here. So I messaged his manager, or sent an email, and he said, hey, Lloyd's coming to Indie PopCon in whatever it was, July of that year. And he said, if you can make it work where you can come up to Indianapolis and film up here with him, make it easy for him, he'd do it for you. And that's what it was. And I wrote the script and sent it to Lloyd, or both scripts, and we brought our props and everything and went right to his hotel room, and he opened the door and we come in and set all our stuff up, and we were there about 3 hours.
Wow.
And it was fun. It was and the whole time he's shooting, he had a sport coat on. He was pulling gifts out of the sport coat, you know, Toxie trading cards, yes, and little pins and posters and stuff. So by the time we left, we had a whole closet full of trauma goodies of the stuff. And Stover did the same thing with, you know, old lobby cards and Blu-rays. And it's just neat. These guys that have been around in film for so long, the things that they have collected. And so both Kaufman and Stover, you know, they crossed paths. They were, I don't know if they were in a film or just at a con, but there's some pictures of the two of those guys.
Oh, wow.
So it was just kind of a neat tie-in too.
So did that, did you, learn anything unexpected out of working with him, or did you, was there something you took away from there?
Well, we had a lot of laughs that night because Lloyd is just like Lloyd on behind the scenes as he is on film. The main takeaway as far as a learning experience was, boys, the future of this is online. Basically, make a name for yourself online. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, distribution and DVDs and Blu-rays are great for the people who collect them, but for the masses, it's not getting any better with physical. So he said, make a name for yourself online, because that is where the future of this is.
Yeah.
So as much as I love to collect, and James loves to collect, and we all have our big movie collections and all that, and we still hold physical dear to our heart, we do realize that streaming and online is the way to go. And hearing Lloyd, who's been around since 74 with Troma, saying that, like, okay, it kind of legitimized that a little more, where it's like, okay, maybe some of this is not all what it's cracked up to be. And we hear a lot of horror stories about distribution anyway. So I have more control over it too.
And that's another aspect of it. Definitely have a lot more control than it is with some distributor. Well, that's the one thing, you know, sitting around my house on a weekend, I'm looking for something to watch. Fearflix, I'm glad I've added that one, because that's got a whole bunch of stuff I could want and then fits my categories. Well, you can go through and I could search for something. And like the other day, I'll never forget this. I went and I'm like, for some reason, I just wanted to watch that old, you remember the heavy metal movie, the animated?
Oh, yeah.
From the 80s. I'm like, oh, I want to watch this. All right. So I did a search on my Roku, and there it was on a couple of streaming channels. I was like, all right, cool. And I watched it. And after I got done, I got up, went over to my DVD collection and pulled out the heavy metal DVD.
And there it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I could have just watched it. Oh, no, it's better.
But you're more prone because you're already there.
I'm already there, exactly.
Yep. Sure, sure.
And while I have my collection, I've got a great collection of little Blu-ray indie, you know, horror films. But if I see, you know, Blood Cove on some streaming service, I'll watch that and leave the DVD at home, you know. So, that's, I don't know. It's just, and I feel bad sometimes because I've heard horror stories about, let's say, the big streamers like Amazon, Netflix, where the guys don't get paid hardly anything.
No.
And it's like, I hate to do that, but I want to watch the film, and I've already bought it, so, okay, I don't feel as guilty.
Well, sure. And the thing is, a lot of times it's like you have to weigh the pros and cons about, you know, you want it to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, YouTube, where, you know, we're all over YouTube, but it's not a secret that sometimes the algorithms are in your favor for certain movies and other ones they're not.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple right now that are like some of our better films. And I'm looking around to other options. Where can this go? Because it's not, YouTube is not bringing the views that it probably deserves. Mm-hmm. So where can we put this where it will get more attention?
Are you looking at another streaming service possibly? Or?
Well, for those two, we are looking at a physical distributor, but the end goal would be like a Walmart type thing.
Definitely. So
that would be better than not getting viewership on YouTube. But then you have Fangs, which is blowing up on YouTube, and people, you know, for whatever reason, that is found where Blood Cove is not. You know, Blood Cove, they're both really strong in our canon of films, but yet one people see and one people aren't. Uh-huh. And we're not sure what the issue is there with how YouTube's algorithms work. But it's a constant battle.
I always wondered how some of the, because I don't think some of their algorithms work at all. I think they just throw stuff out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that didn't make sense. I didn't want to see that. Why would you throw that my way?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I just came up with an idea. Like we're talking about earlier that there's so many in this general area, independent filmmakers. Mm-hmm. We need a Midwest film streamer channel. Yeah. How do we do that?
I don't know.
let's make this
James
work.
is the tech guy on our department, so I will have to ask
get
him
on this. Yeah. I guess we'll need some upfront money, I'm sure, somehow to establish a server of sorts. And don't be surprised, folks, if you're going to see, because we'll do the Nerd Up podcast episodes also on that streaming service. Mm-hmm. So
there we go. Yeah,
we'll figure something out, hopefully, because I think
we
that
all
is
just
the
need some money. Period.
That's for sure. Well, and I think that's one of the things, like you said, even Lloyd Kaufman says it. That's the future is the streaming services. I mean, during COVID, that was like the thing to do is streaming services.
Right.
You know, everybody spent a whole year on their couches watching streaming services.
Yeah.
No movies available. And
we had good viewership in 2020.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people
this year, like, not as much. Where did you all go?
They left their living rooms.
They all left their house. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I understand. Sure. There's theater. I still fully support a theater.
Absolutely.
You know? I'll still go because there's just certain movies you have to watch on the big screen.
Darren says it all the time. Yeah. He's like, we have to go, boys. Like, he calls us and he's like, we got to go. We have to go see that film in a theater because it needs a theater screening.
Exactly.
And I agree. You know?
I think horror movies are best in theaters. But again, if you're going like, you know, quantity, streaming service is where you're going to go for there. So you're going to... Again, we'll see what we can do about starting our own streaming service, and we'll have an independent film only.
I'm all for that.
And it could be any genre. We can we can break it down by genre inside the streamer. So
I think it'd be great.
All right, we're on.
I think we could actually get a pretty good catalog on that.
Just hopefully they don't ask for a video of Nerd Up podcast. We'll be good if they don't. It'll be audio only.
Well, I can film it for you if you ever change your mind.
No, nobody wants to see this. So.
Nah.
Just like they don't want to hear me sing either. But all right. So now in the future lineup, what's your plans? Are you just constantly writing and constantly doing stuff? Do you make plans for like, I'm going to do that in about 2 years? Or do you just, this is what I came up with. Let's do it now. How's that work for you?
There's a filmmaker out in California. His name's Dustin Ferguson. And Dustin's directed like 120 movies or something like that. And he's not that much older than I am. But he started in Nebraska and moved out there. And I'm always impressed with his Facebook because he'll list every film he's making for the year. Mm. And I'm always so jealous of that because I'm like, God, I can't figure out what I'm doing next week a lot of times. But that's a pitfall of mine is getting an idea and like, we got to do that. And then losing steam on that idea. So the longer we draw things out, the worse it is. It's better to like pick it, write it, go and shoot than it is to plan 6 months in advance. That I would struggle with, but we're working on one coming up called Grim Reaper, which is a sort of in the vein of Blood Cove, kind of just a straight slasher film, mainly just a cut loose, no pun intended, a little more. Flesh Eaters was pretty lofty in terms of locations and the amount of people and the script was pretty bulky. There was a lot there. A lot of story in that one, which is great because I think it will be by far and away one of our best films. So I wanted to do something a lot more streamlined with our next one. It's very, very simple. There's a lot of sections without a ton of dialogue, just to make it a lot more just from A to B a lot quicker.
Okay.
But it's fun so far. We've shot actually a little bit of it already. Nobody knows that.
Okay. so basically it's just like
three people.
As it comes up, then you run with what you got basically.
Sometimes. Flesh Eaters was planned back in October, and we didn't shoot it until May. So there was a long gap there. They almost lost me before May. it was great. So, no, I'm excited for Grim Reaper because it's just like I said, a lot more streamlined.
What else you got coming up?
I don't know. Maybe more Nerd Up podcasts.
Hey, that's not a bad move.
No, hopefully we can maybe get back to some conventions and things now that COVID is over.
Yeah.
Or some shows and do things like that. And that's the problem with working on such a lower budget is you go, well, what do we want to do? Do we want to pay for a table? Or do we want to have money for our cast and crew to run up and down the roads for the next movie?
Right.
And it's like, well, you got to make a choice. You can't do both. You know, it's sometimes you can't. Other times, you know, you could do both or three things and not worry about it. It just depends on how much you've got at the time.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope that we're able to do more of that back into this year or early into next year, and especially more premieres. We've done two films now that really didn't have a premiere outside of their YouTube premiere launches because of COVID. We couldn't. And it was either don't premiere it or let it sit on a shelf for you know, however long.
You didn't want
to. I didn't want to do that because, you know, people were excited to see him and the cast worked super hard and you know,
And it's good to get it out there.
Yeah.
100%. And besides, a lot of people, they'll say, oh, it's on YouTube. Well, no, it's on YouTube. That means you can watch it anywhere you want.
Right.
You know, it's not the matter of fact, it's just on YouTube. And anymore, YouTube is its own. I mean, I don't know if they ever really were successful with their launching their premiere YouTube. I forget what they call it, the Red Tube or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were very successful.
YouTube Red.
Yeah. That's it. YouTube Red. That's what.
Yeah.
And it's like, but there's so much, you know, competition out there that there are some stuff on YouTube that I wish, again, back to the algorithm.
Yeah.
I wish they'd fix it that I could see all these because every once in a while I'll run across something like, how come I've never heard of that?
Right.
You know, it's like,
well, what's recommended to you is a cat flying around on a fan.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to watch that.
No,
yeah.
No, that's not me. Unless the cat gets, never mind.
No.
Horror films is what I'm going for. No, I'm nice to cats. I love cats. One of the things we recently, you and I got together and worked on was a film with Jed Bryan, or actually a short film.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys came out here, you brought pretty much the whole crew. At least three of you.
Three
guys.
Of the heavies. Yeah.
How often do you guys run in packs like that?
when do we not run in packs like that? It depends, but you know, Darren and I have been shooting in stealth mode a little bit on Grim Reaper because we've been doing that during odd times during the week when nobody else is around. So lately, it's been the two of us a lot on that film because he's playing the Grim Reaper character, so we're able to do that. But We're all together a lot, you know.
Okay.
The Darren, James, and I are, and then Ben and I are together a lot, the two of us, and working on things, and so, what was your question?
It's like, how often do you guys run in packs?
A lot.
So I was gonna say, well, and I know you guys definitely don't get sick of each other because seeing the products that come out of, I mean, you guys being together. I mean, now we talked about James is the one, he's the one that does the effects.
Darren.
Okay, Darren does the effects.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now I got this.
James and I help with him, but Darren's our lead.
He's the
effect. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Well, one thing I know about indie film producers of any kind, no matter what the genre, no matter what the format, you guys, very limited budgets.
Mm-hmm.
How does Darren come up with the effects on almost no? I mean, I'm sure some of your earlier films, especially, no budget at all.
Right.
Does he just come out of the blue? How does he come up with or how do you get him to do these things?
Well, most of the time, you know, when the scripts are written, I go, okay, we kind of need something like this and this and this. And we will sit down, Darren and I, or Darren and James and I, or Darren and Ben and James and I, and we will go through, these are what the effects are and, or what the scenes are for the effects. And Darren will kind of go home and brainstorm and he'll call me and he'll say, hey, okay, I've got an idea for this, this, and this. And I'll say, all right, well, we have to buy, you know, whatever Karo syrup and this kind of stuff for blood or brain matter or whatever. It sounds terrible, doesn't it, saying it out loud?
No, it's horror movies.
Fake. You know, and Darren started making films when he was young, too, because Darren is quite a bit older than James and I, although we are cited often as the three of us graduating high school together.
Oh, really?
Which he gets a big kick out of. Darren is quite a bit older than James and I. But he doesn't look it. because he started doing that on his own and with his brother, I believe, so many years ago, he has all these sort of things in his toolkit, you know, to bring to the table with us. So a lot of times it's as simple as, hey, I've got this kill scene we have to do. And he's like, all right, I got it. You know, and then you've got James, who's a heck of a prop builder.
Okay.
You know, so in addition to his co-producing job, James will go home and build, you know, like the fake axe and all the stuff for Blood Cove. It's not a real axe, but he shaves that out of whatever.
Wow.
And, you know, foam and builds the handle and repaints and everything and does. So he builds a lot of props and things too. So, it's all a team effort.
And the thing about it is basically just like, well, this is a problem. Let's tackle it in whatever way we can. Huh?
Well, when you don't have a lot of money, you use what you have.
Right.
And we're very proud of practical effects.
Yeah.
99% of it is in camera. Hardly ever do I do any sort of trickery with CGI. We can, we just don't like it because we like the old school. You know, if there's going to be blood, make fake blood.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
You know, don't use a little green screen effect. I mean, those are okay occasionally.
They can work. They got their place.
But if they don't look good, they really cheapen your movie.
Yeah. And that's the thing with practical effects. It's very rare that they don't look good other than like a knife bending rather than stabbing, you know, type thing.
Right.
But for the most part, a practical effect is a lot more effective than a CGI because there's so many people out there that, you can tell that CGI.
Yeah.
Oh, that just ruined it for me.
even a lot of times the big films have a hard time pulling off certain things.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're working with a minuscule budget and you think you can pull it off, it's like, oh, boys, just do it in camera.
Right.
You know, it's like get your shirt dirty or whatever it's going to take to get that shot to look right.
Well, we just recently saw the Black Widow movie, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe. They have bazillions of dollars to spend. And there's parts where you're like, oh, that's CGI.
it didn't look good.
No, there's a couple. There's just a couple. I mean,
yeah,
you know, the movies themselves are okay, but there's a couple moments like, yeah, that looks like a fake Black Widow jumping from piece to piece. It's like, no, that just because we'll go back to the early Spider-Man movies.
Yeah,
you know, there's some CGI in there. It's like that just looks like something animated. You know,
It's still Raimi though. So
yeah,
it's still so great. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Black Widow, I saw there's a part, it looked like it was an animated. I'm like, and it kind of takes you out of the movie for a while. So practical.
I think that's when you, I'm stuttering, when you sort of, you look at what you're able to do. And that's what we try to do a lot is we go, can we pull this off? And if the answer is no, you move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I'll start with an idea and I'll be like, guys, and I'll call them like, this is the best thing. And a couple of them out of the core team will go, okay, and we got to sort of pare that down a little bit. And I'm like, okay, so I'm getting better at going, all right, we can do this, and this is something
there's no way the city's going to let us blow up the city park.
No, although the city of Linton is super helpful. But no, they would not do that. So
that's it, yeah. So I guess, you know, and that's one thing about independent films I think you'll find a lot more of is practical effects than CGI. And mainly because it really is easier. I mean, but there are times, like you said, if you can't pull it off, just don't.
Right.
And, you know, and I think it is easier than sitting afterwards after all the actors have gone home or back to their parts of the nation. And you're like, oh, well, how are we going to make this, you know, CGI can't bring the actor back. And so, all right. Well, now I got a little insight on the way you guys make your films.
Yeah, we don't have the budget to CGI an actor.
You're right. So. Yeah, and that's the thing with independent films. And that's the beauty of it, I think, is they don't have the budget. You guys don't have the budget,
right?
But you make it work. And there's some super no budget films out there that are just some of the best movies ever.
You have to be more creative.
Yeah.
You have to. You don't have an option.
Yeah. It forces, I think, on you as a writer. I think it maybe forces you to say, okay, well, how can I get more creative with making that come to the mind of the viewer?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so now you're basically you write and direct. Have you written and direct all Moonlight films or?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is there one that is if anybody else wanted to come in, like let's say Darren, he says, hey, I want to direct this one. What would it take? Or do you say Darren wouldn't do that?
No. If he or James or Ben or, you know, or any of them wanted to take that on, I think that we have a really strong way of working that we do it the way it is and the way the ideas are born and the process and who sort of does what. I think it just works. I don't think we all want to switch roles around. I think we're all kind of happy with what we do. I think we all have different personalities that work well for, I like to talk to people. you know, other people may be a little bit shyer in front of big groups or whatever. So I think that we all have our strong,
yeah, you got your
suits that were good with. You know, my brother doesn't give himself near enough credit. He's a heck of an actor, but he always wants to be in a suit. Uh-huh. And not show his face. But so it's like, that's what he likes. He doesn't want to be the lead on the screen. He wants to be in a suit. Uh-huh. And he'd rather be hot and sweating to death in a monster suit than he would be. And it's like, kudos to that, because yeah, he does a great job at it. But that's what he likes, you know. And Darren likes to be off on the side doing the special effects while I'm working with the actors. Uh-huh. So when the effect is ready, he brings things in and we go, you know. Yeah. So it's like, I think we have such a way of working. I don't know if we'd, it's honestly never even been talked about.
Wow.
I mean, okay, we all intermix a little bit, or if they say, hey, I kind of have an idea for a shot or something like that. Yeah. Or, hey, I've got this idea for a location or whatever. You know, those things overlap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but as far as that's never even been, you're the first person that's ever asked that.
Oh, wow.
Great question. I don't have
now,
an answer to that.
Because now the rest of the guys are going like, yeah, how come I never direct?
Yeah, well, he never brought it up. So,
but no, that's a good thing when you got a team that, you know, basically everybody knows their part, you know, like, you don't always want the center fielder pitching, you know,
right,
in a baseball game. You don't want that. It's like, because he probably can't. So,
well, I think sometimes it's like, you know,
though.
Well, yeah, well, no, but there's things in life that you are strong at,
yeah,
and things that you're not. And you, yeah, go, well, I think if you realize that, I mean, you always push yourself more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you if you have a talent with whatever it is, you know, and I'm very lucky to have the team,
yeah,
that I do. And because if I was trying to do everything by myself, it would be next up. And just our cast is so good, and they're willing to come in and spend just an insane amount of hours to make things happen. And we have been extremely lucky with the people we've brought in. So there's not been a person who's been in any of the films that I think, I don't want to work with that person again. You know, and I hope they would not feel that way about us.
Yeah,
and the fact that they come back
over
and over, I think we've got a pretty good thing going. So
you haven't had me in a film yet.
Well, I hope
that
so.
That Gil's a diva.
Well, I hope to soon. So,
well, I hope so also, because I just love it. Once again, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today. We've had a blast talking with you, getting a little insight into your mind and Moonlight Films. This is now your moment to pimp yourself. Let the listening audience know where they can find your stuff, websites, Facebook, etc.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been on my calendar. I've been looking forward to it every day. I get up, I think we're one day closer to the podcast.
Whoa, wow.
Our main source of content is our YouTube channel. So youtube.com//moonlightfilms. If you type in Moonlight Films on YouTube, we are the first ones to come up on there. We also have a website at moonlight-films.com that James designed for us and keeps that up to date. That has links where you can buy all of our movies on DVD through Kanaki. Kanaki is difficult to navigate because you can't just go and search our stuff. You have to have a store link, but you can find that on our website or also through our Facebook channel. Our Facebook channel is pretty active. We post at least a time or two a week about what we're doing. And if you need to contact us or want to contact us, honestly, on these podcast shows that we've done, we've had several people contact us and say, hey, I'd love to do something like that. And we've got people involved that way.
Yeah, nice.
It's neat that we've got to a point where people are asking us
if
they can be involved. So
yeah,
it's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's the only reason I brought you here on the podcast, because I want to be involved.
Yeah, it's all a scam. Well, I told you a while back I'd love to have you in a film, so you were already in. You didn't have to invite me.
Oh, man, now you tell me.
Burnt your whole hour up.
Yeah, moonlight-films.com. And also, again, on YouTube, Moonlight Films. Find those guys. Just search Moonlight Films. You'll find them. And definitely look up Fear Flicks, because several of their films are on there. I tell you, these guys' films, they're fun. They're scary. They're scary fun. There's some cool stuff. It's just really neat stuff. I've only seen bits and pieces of everything.
Yeah.
So now I want to. My goal right now is I'm going to watch Fangs, and what was the other one? The other one with Jed Bryan. Oh, Flesh Eaters. That's the one.
Yes. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
When it comes out.
I know Fangs is on Fear Flicks. That one's right now on my list. But now, as you described,
Flesh Eaters. Fear Flicks. Find us on Fear Flicks.
Yeah. And with Flesh Eaters, I'm just looking forward to the way you described that. I'm like, that sounds cool.
Good.
But looking for you guys. So yeah, you can find them on Fear Flicks, but moonlight-films.com and Moonlight Films on YouTube, and just Moonlight Films, you'll find them somehow, some way. Get a hold of these guys if you want to get some of their movies, check them out. They're worth it. Definitely worth it. Maybe you'll even get a signed copy of a movie. I'm just saying.
It won't be worth much. It will diminish in value. Stay away.
Somebody wrote
We would love to sign your merch. That's the word, right?
Merch. Yeah. Swag.
There. Oh, okay.
There. So, check these guys out. It's definitely worthwhile. And again, Ian, thanks for joining me here on the Nerd Up Podcast.
Thank you very much, sir.
And, that's going to wrap up another episode. Like we say at the end of each and every episode, stay nerdy.